up, guys? Welcome to the Dapper Shark Podcast, episode 70.
It's been a lot of episodes.
In stereo.
I've been here for most of them.
You've been here for some of them.
Hey. I'm off there making money.
Yeah. I think I've been here for all but one of them.
Enough money that we might be able to get a Nintendo Switch!
God, I'm kind of excited.
I'm so looking forward to it.
Joining us today is just John and Emily.
Yep, poor James couldn't make it.
Other John? Thank you, Other John. So...
I heard he was painting a fence. Like, actually painting a fence. That's what I read on Facebook.
I thought that was just a euphemism.
No, like, he and Haley just stayed. It was something like 350 feet of fence in 17 hours. Over 2 days.
Well, that was stupid.
Well, they have a fence to stain for all of their animals.
That's not painting.
Really, you could let the animals stain the fence, but...
All right. So anyway, James couldn't be here is the takeaway from that.
Too bad.
Yep, because we're going to talk about stuff that's really interesting.
What do you want to start with?
Well, I kind of want to talk about A Hat in Time, since we just got off the tail end of watching it.
And it always... Honestly, I think it's good once you have fresh thoughts on it. To get talking about it, and then maybe we'll revisit it toward the end, just, like, after we processed it. Or maybe even next time.
So, A Hat in Time is an action platformer starring a little girl who gets hats that gives her different powers. And that's what we know. The little demo that they showed off at Gamescom actually has it taking place during a murder mystery on a train. I don't want to spoil it too much, but it is really cute. There are owls in there that are asking for personal information, and they're really fun crows. You're right, they called themselves owls. Sorry. There are crows that are asking for your personal information, and it's actually really funny.
When what's-his-face, well, who were we watching, even?
We were watching Tom Fox.
We were watching him play it. He made his my favorite, like, cadence of that video. Was, everything is Lopsy, because that's what you put for all the names. And I think if I have, like, a generic name that needs to happen, I'll probably use Lopsy from here on. I thought it was kind of annoying at first, but it's a little charming.
It grew on you. Yeah. Also, he's like, in other words, I have to have probable cause!
But it was a rather cute game. I don't know why, but and I was just telling John this. I have no idea why, and there's no, like, grounds behind it, but the style and then the way that the camera angles were kind of, like, forced into really close and all over the place. It kind of reminded me of Little Big Planet, which was a good thing. But I guess if you watch that video, you'll probably see why I'm saying that. And there will be a link to that in the show notes.
Absolutely.
But it's only a vague resemblance. But I really played the shit out of Little Big Planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was one of, like, three PlayStation games that I had when, when we first got the PS3, because it came in a bundle. Not that that's a bad thing.
No.
It's rather fun.
You know, I really like the offsetting of the really cutesy atmosphere and then, like, hey, murder.
Yeah. Yeah. And the cardboard cutouts were the other thing that made me think of that.
Oh, yeah. But the cardboard cutouts are actually really cute, too.
Yeah. Just overall, it was a good little preview, anyway. John was saying something about being excited for a platformer. I can't... I'm not quite as easy to excite as that. John knows what I'm talking about, but...
Yeah, but I've seen other footage on A Hat in Time. Like, I had been following it on Steam for quite a while.
Fair enough.
But this is the first gameplay, and I'm like, oh, it's actually exactly what they promised.
When is it expected to actually... Because this is alpha, right?
No, that was the almost release build.
Gotcha. So when is it supposed to come out?
I think it's supposed to come out in November?
That's pretty close. Right in time for the winter sale.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
So look for it. It's going to be pretty good. Again, this is an action platformer. It's not going to be like Yooka-Laylee. The controls look tight. The camera looks good.
But it also, I think that it's not supposed to be on the same grounds as Yooka-Laylee by any means.
No, it is.
Why?
Like, it's supposed to be that old school style platformer with collectibles and stuff like that.
But I really think
that was
Yooka-Laylee was more pandering to, like, not even pandering.
People
Yooka-Laylee
who were fans
was
Banjo-Kazooie.
Exactly.
Specifically, yes.
And there are still differences. Like, yes, it's, but you, comparing.
The thing that A Hat in Time does differently from Yooka-Laylee is it took a lot of the things that were bad about the genre and fixed them.
But I think,
like, improving camera controls.
You can't put, like, Banjo-Kazooie and Mario,
64?
Or Mario, Paper Mario, rather. You can't put those on the same level.
Well, Paper Mario is an RPG.
Well, all three of them is the thing.
Like A Thousand Year Door?
Maybe?
There's still platformers, huh?
Well, exactly. But, like, Yooka-Laylee is a very specific type. And I dare say Banjo-Kazooie is almost its own
Banjo-Kazooie is like Super Mario 64 is like Donkey Kong 64. Like, there are, it's like Spyro. There are several games in that genre that were all very similar gameplay-wise, and they all had a specific control scheme that was still kind of bad back then that got improved as time went on. The problem with Yooka-Laylee is that they pandered too much to nostalgia without actually fixing the things.
Without making a good game.
I've heard it best explained, and I don't know who said it, but Yooka-Laylee should have been the game that people thought they remembered. Like, it should have had mechanics that people thought they remembered, not the mechanics that they remembered. Does that make sense?
It also should have been a good game, because there were things in it that just weren't good by themselves.
I've heard a lot of people defending Yooka-Laylee, saying that it was really good. And I know Gerard the Completionist doesn't really count, because he's kind of one of those fanboy guys. But he did make a valid point, saying, hey, this is the thing, if you liked Banjo-Kazooie, you probably will like this game. But if you were looking for a game like Banjo-Kazooie, but with improved everything, it's not for you.
Mm. I don't know, I feel like it's... Modern games should really, on the whole, be better than
yes.
any predecessors.
Well, and that's the thing, like, take a look at Doom. Doom was a great improvement on the series, and it had the gameplay that people thought they remembered, as well as new stuff on top of it.
I should get that game.
Why, I haven't.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, now you have that nice 1060 to play it on.
I mean, yes. Although, to Doom's credit, it actually ran on my 660. What a fucking trooper of a graphics card. That 660 lasts me for fucking ever.
I feel like you do really ride out your,
parts?
Yeah. How old is your monitor? We were just talking about that today.
My monitor is almost a decade old.
Yeah.
And it still works.
And you pointed out anytime we're at a remotely, like, electronic store. We were at Staples today. We weren't even anywhere that sells good electronics.
We were looking at monitors, though, at the time when I said it.
We were passing through the monitor aisle, but yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing, like, it's an AOC, so I knew it was going to last a long time.
I also have an AOC, and that was a big selling point, honestly, of my monitor, was that it was a brand that we trusted, because John's monitor, save for a melting point.
Something that I did myself with a fucking candle.
Immediately after getting it.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is so funny that stain is, as it's been there as long as that monitor's been alive, and it's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But mine, too. I mean, I feel like we're kind of, well, to put it in the marketing 201, or 301...
brand loyalty?
Term. Yeah, you have that brand loyalty, which is a huge part of your marketing, because you can spend a lot less on trying to get people to at least, maybe not convert to your product, and definitely not to, like... get new customers,
mm-hmm.
Like, just off the bat without having to, you know, like, convert people from another one. But it will definitely make people, repeat customers, seek your product out.
Well, not only that, brand loyalty converts to word-of-mouth sales, too.
Absolutely. That's where most of the place I work is how we get our... We don't even have brand loyalty, because people get married once, maybe twice.
Although you have had repeat customers throwing that up.
That we have. Largely they've been prom girls, but I've had a couple weddings where it's like, oh, my first one didn't work out. Here's a different dress. And one of them, here's the same dress, but it doesn't fit anymore. And that one, it's like, I can remember how I sewed this one. Oh my, her dress really doesn't fit anymore.
So speaking of branding, you know who's probably not terribly happy with the branding they received recently?
Who?
Cuphead.
So let's move on. Speaking of Gamescom... So, fucking, what's his name? Dean...
Takahashi.
Is that his last name?
I think so.
Let me see. Just to be safe.
Okay. I will go ahead and move on with the story, however.
Go ahead.
This guy, who is allegedly a games journalist for 18 years, and I do say allegedly for a reason, has been getting a lot of flack recently. He works for VentureBeat, and they released... I don't know why they fucking did this, but they released a video of Dean being absolutely fucking terrible at Cuphead.
Takahashi.
And when I say absolutely terrible at Cuphead, I mean didn't read the instructions on the screen, couldn't figure out how to jump and dash consecutively to get past the tutorial obstacles in a game that doesn't look very hard, frankly. You wouldn't know that to watch him. as he tries to Mario jump on enemies several times, even though every single time he's attempted it, he's gotten hurt. In a game where you have a finger gun, you know, a gun that shoots bullets, he's trying to jump on enemies. He forgot about mechanics that they taught him in the tutorial, that they really hammered into his head, that I really thought he'd remember because he was so fucking bad at them. Maybe he did the whole game while he was, like, on drugs or something. What do you think?
You know, that's the thing. You said something about him being mostly tech, and that's still no excuse.
Well, I did say that he usually does tech reviews, but he himself is claiming to be a games journalist.
Well, he's bad at his job. That's all I gotta say.
For a point of reference, I also posted a video of an actual competent... I hesitate to say competent here, but a competent gamer playing through and not having nearly as much trouble as Dean did. This is IGN playing, which is why I hesitate to say competent, but it is very clearly they have at least played a fucking video game in their life.
It's mostly, like, I vaguely understand if he's struggling at first and then loses. Because not everybody...
It's okay to be bad at a game.
Exactly.
But it's not okay if you're a games journalist to be incompetent and then blame the game in your written review. And this is something that I had problems with a PC Gamer article recently over Fortnite. Fortnite is by no means a perfect game. There are valid criticisms that they could have had. But blaming something on the game that is absolutely your own fucking fault is inexcusable.
I feel like you should give a game a couple of fair shakes, too.
How do you mean?
You play the game, hate it, walk away and come back if possible. Maybe. Because Steam gives you up to 2 hours.
At the same stretch, I've seen you definitely walk away from a game based on your first impressions.
Oh, absolutely. I've been genuinely trying not to do that anymore. Because on a number of them, and of course I can't name any off the top of my head, I'm just kind of trying to remember.
I still think you'd like The Witcher if you actually gave it a chance.
That's another one that I'm definitely gonna. I just need to stop being an elitist.
There's
also,
a reason
I'm
such
not gonna,
a beloved series.
I'm not gonna have the attachment that a lot of people have to it. Like, 2 seemed really, really good.
Yeah.
1 seems really hard to play.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, as a game gets older, a game series, they're going to add on to it. That's just going to happen. They're going to improve mechanics, fix the things that were wrong. I mean, this is what's supposed to happen anyway, Call of Duty. they're supposed to fix the things that are wrong with it and improve upon the systems already in place. And a lot of times, if that doesn't happen, unless it's Call of Duty... a series dies.
Unless it's Call of Duty.
Unless it's Call of Duty or Battlefield. Although Battlefield admittedly does actually improve on things. They just have a tendency of reverting back to older systems.
And I do... excuse me. And I do feel like I've been spoiled being... not recent, but not having to... slog is the wrong word. But not having to slog through initial PC gaming... like I say, I've been spoiled because everything's been really polished for what I've played.
No, you say slog, but the problem I keep running into is I either am playing almost exclusively indie games nowadays, or I'm going back to those old games that I have fondness for and finding, man, these gameplay mechanics are so solid, even if the graphics look like shit.
And I do feel like I need to give them a chance. Well, that's why, I mean, John can attest to this too. When we're playing a game, I ask what year it came out. Because a lot of them, I'm genuinely surprised that things are good for what year they were made.
Yeah. What was the last game that happened with? Was it Stranger's Wrath?
No, because it's been a long time since I watched you play that. But that one was relatively old. How old was that one?
Stranger's Wrath was, like, early 2000s. Like, 2004, I want to say?
Yeah.
It was on the original Xbox.
Which kind of boggled my mind. There was another... Well, the original Half-Life.
Yeah.
For sure. That one did surprise me.
And it's Quake Engine.
Yeah. There was another one. Well, you know, it might have been Quake. No, there was another one that we played. What was it? Was it...
Was it one we played together recently?
No, it was a while ago.
Can you tell me a genre?
No.
Because I might be able to help.
Was it Unreal?
No, because you still mock Unreal to this day, even though I still think it looks really good for when it was released. You are such a butthole. The listeners won't know why she's a butthole, but let me just assure you, she's a butthole.
Anyway.
So, speaking of nostalgia for old games, Okami HD is coming out here on December 12th this
that
year.
That one was 2000.
For PC.
That one was 2006 or so, wasn't it?
2007, but yeah.
That was really, honestly, like...
That's a beautiful fucking game.
That is a champion in cel shading, I gotta say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was Clover Studios, of course it was gorgeous.
It's so sad that they're gone now.
They got absorbed into another company.
It's so sad that they're gone now.
I mean, Platinum Games does make some really good games now.
But Okami and Beautiful Joe were...
A cut above the rest.
Exactly, and those weren't their only two, right?
Beautiful Joe 2.
Those weren't their only three, right?
No, they had other games too, but they weren't as...
Amazing?
That particular art style was what really set those games apart, and the love and care put into them. I think there was another game that was sort of like... That series, trying to remember what it is. Like, it was like Wonderful 100 or something like that.
We'll have to look that up.
Vamp for a second. Or talk about Okami, actually.
I don't know how early cel shading was even a thing. I don't know when it was.
Wonderful 101.
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't know when it started being super popular, even when the concept was created. Mm-hmm. But I'm surprised that I can only really think of like the most successful games that use it are Borderlands and Okami, unless I'm totally wrong.
Well, Beautiful Joe.
Yes.
Wind Waker.
Fair. Okay, I hadn't even thought of Wind Waker. What else, though? I think...
Those are the games I can think of off the top of my head. I guess there's Killer 7, which is another one that used that quite a bit. God, there's another game I'm trying to think of that was for the GameCube. Was it Killer 7? It's not Killer is Dead. This Killer is Dead is...
You're speaking of foreign... I never had a GameCube or an Xbox, so I missed out a lot.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I had a GameCube later on. I mean, and an Xbox later on. That's the thing. All of my, like... Those second-gen consoles... they were already... Like, I found them at Value Village and stuff, because people finally got rid of them. So I was getting, like, second and third hand equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So our GameCube wouldn't stay shut, so we had to put something on top of it because the little spring was broken.
To be fair, mine wouldn't either, but I... Back then, I tinkered enough that I actually fixed it myself.
That's good. That's what David's doing with our the PS3 that we had when I was a younger person.
You mean PS2?
No, the PS3.
Oh, he just because got parts from me for the PS2.
Yeah, he was doing that because he's trying to repair things on it. But the PS3, the fan went out on it, so my dad took it to, I think, to trade a game. And because he just wanted the fan replaced, and to get it to work, they just had to put a fan in it. So it was the loudest fucking thing. So you couldn't, like, you had to have the volume up on the TV because it was so loud.
Are you sure? Because... The fan he was just asking to replace was a PS2 fan.
Yes, I know. It's a completely separate thing. He's doing both.
Okay. That's just odd that it was the fan part on both of your parts, Sony.
Yeah.
Throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Although that said, I've had to rebuild the PS2 that I currently own several times, which is why I had a scrap PS2 lying around.
Don't worry, John. It's not a vital part. Just cooling.
You know, the only thing that keeps your entire system from melting down, but...
No big deal.
Or
it's
catching on fire.
It's not necessary.
Nothing vital. Alright, so what else should we talk about, my love?
Can you liquid cool a PS3 if you really want, or a PS2 if you really want
to? I don't think you would want to mod a PS2 that much to do that, but in theory, yes.
But you could.
You can actually mod a PS2 to run like a computer. You can even install Linux on it.
That's funny. Yeah. Why would you want to, though?
Well, I mean, that's the thing right there, is because you can.
Yeah.
Or because piracy. There was a, not that I have any experience with this, there was a thing called Mod Loader that you could install on a PS2 with a hard drive, which mine has, not mod loader, the hard drive, mm-hmm. but you can install it on there, and it would boot whenever you'd start the PS2.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had a disc for it, you can make it so that it would actually copy a game disc onto your hard drive entirely, and you could play the game without having a disc. That was back when renting games was still a thing. So you could go to Blockbuster and rent a game.
Blockbuster.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy that they're gone now.
Did you even have a Blockbuster near you guys?
Yeah.
When...
Yeah, it was in Wandermere, but yeah, it was close-ish. I mean, as close as town.
Yeah, that's fair. What about the memory cards? I guess those were...
Yeah, you had memory cards, too, but memory cards aren't very big.
We had a pretty big one, but I guess that was after PS4s came out, that we went and got one. We got it on Amazon. It was pretty big. It was...
A memory card?
Yeah.
For the PS2?
Yeah. It was old.
The memory card I have is, like, super old, so who'd you get it with?
Amazon.
No, I mean, like, where'd you buy it? And where is it?
Amazon. And David has it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't know they made... memory cards for PS2 still, to be honest.
No, they don't make them. They're probably just sitting in a warehouse, just like many Wiis probably are.
Yeah.
Did we talk last week about... This just kind of came up on the show notes. Did we talk about PewDiePie? I don't know if we want to.
Man, I don't really want to anymore. That guy's gotten so many fucking chances. Like, he was genuinely being persecuted by the game... or by the actual media... And, like, things that he said were taken out of context deliberately.
Except when he
blatantly was racist on a stream. And he's like, sorry, but, like, that excused it. You don't just say that thing as a slip-up. I never say that in my life. And I have gotten so... I'm not even going to say what he said, by the way, but...
You'll know.
Yeah, if you watch the thing that we link, you'll know.
What gets me is that, like, there's nothing you can say to rectify that. You're going to have to ride that out, even if... Well, the best thing that's going to help you ride it out is, holy shit, I'm so sorry. And you're going to get a lot of flack.
That is what he did, to be fair.
Really?
Yeah. He said, holy shit, I'm so sorry, basically.
I thought he said, but...
No, he straight up apologized. No, he didn't have any buts. He said it was inexcusable. I'm sorry for my behavior. Being around gamers like this, I have gotten into that behavior myself, and it's not an excuse.
Okay. Like, say, that doesn't make it right, but that is the way that you get out of it. Like, that's the way that you're supposed to respond.
By actually genuinely apologizing? Something that doesn't happen very often in this industry anymore? I don't like PewDiePie. I haven't liked PewDiePie ever. Even when I used to watch people like Tobuscus or Markiplier, I never liked PewDiePie. And this is not doing a lot to sell him on me, to be honest. The fact that he can let something like that drop when I, not being a racist, have literally never said anything racist. Ever. And I've gotten really mad, just as mad as he did. And you know what I say? You fucking asshole. That's what I say.
I doubt that anybody's never said anything racist. Like, it happens a number of times in your life.
The only time I have ever said it is when I'm referencing the words directly.
Oh, PewDiePie in general, he's just not good, but the fact that, he's... A, allowed himself to be around gamers who say stuff like that, and B, you don't just pick that up from your friends. You're either around that way too much and let people get away with that.
Well, if you were picking that up from your friends, you need to reevaluate.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is like, you've been around it enough for it to be off the top of your head. And that means you've been saying it.
Usually, yeah.
Which isn't okay at all, because that means that in your off time... you've learned that maybe not that that's okay.
Or at least in your public circle, or your non-public circle, rather.
Exactly. Exactly, which is super shitty. So I think that's the thing he needs to work on, is figuring out... Sorry.
Sorry.
Figuring out his friends and who can either stop doing that or who he needs to cut out.
I think I want to end this little portion here by talking about something completely unrelated. And honestly, I think we're out of news after this, so this might be just a single-parter after all.
Okay.
There's a game that I had been monitoring for a while.
Is it
Megaman? Called Trax.
Oh.
And it's a game where you build a little... No, we can talk about Megaman 2 for like an hour if I want.
We could do that anyway, go ahead.
It's a game called Trax, and you build little wooden train sets around the room with, like, furniture and stuff, and you make it run, and it runs like it would in your imagination. Like, you're not having this little person push it. It's actually running. There's a little wooden conductor in there, like, a little tiny shovel that goes whoop and throws, like, not coal into the train. Recently, it got this new actual game mode where you have to set it up so you can pick up little wooden people and transport them places.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool that they added a little gameplay to what is essentially a simulator mm-hmm. for, like, a sandbox. And it's just one of those things that if you ever had a wooden train set, or if you ever liked trains, I imagine this is going to be exactly the game that you always wanted. It looks fucking adorable. There are mods on Steam for it already, and the game's not even actually out. So, I think that this game might be one of those plugs at my heartstrings. Or my child's heartstrings. My child's heartstrings?
Your childhood.
Yes, that's the one. My inner child's heartstrings.
There are no children yet, right, John?
Anyway, no.
I actually thought that was kind of funny that that was in the show notes, considering just today we saw a billboard for a model train show here in town.
And I was actually
excited. We actually got a little jazzed for it. Like, that looks like so much fun.
Tilt shift photography.
Well, that's the thing. Like, tilt shift and model trains are loosely related, but I think I like model trains more.
That's totally fine. Trax is coming out on the 20th of September.
Neat.
So, by the time you hear this, it'll be 1 week from, or 10 days from now.
I did want to talk really quick about Battleborn. I don't know if you read about that.
Battleborn?
They're not gonna develop it after fall. Like, they're gonna update for fall, and then it's gonna be done. They're not gonna update
it
anymore.
Well, yeah, it's a massive loss leader for them.
Yeah, it's not a loss leader. It's a loss. Loss leader implies they're bringing people in to buy other things. This was just a disaster, because they brought it in. It was like Paladins, Overwatch, and Battleborn. Cool.
And Paladins and Overwatch.
Yeah, and it's still there. Like, you got Paladins players and you got Overwatch players. And I'm not going to hate on Overwatch, because I'd love to play it at some point. But probably when it goes on sale.
I think I think Battleborn really got the short end of that stick.
What I played of it was a great game. Just, I don't know what it was. It might have been their marketing. It might have been not getting that initial player base, and that's probably marketing.
Well, that's a thing.
Price, for one thing, it was still...
It shouldn't have been 60.
I was going to say
if they had done $40, they could have sold it on the art style alone.
I would have bought it, like, absolutely for 30. Maybe for 40, definitely not for 60.
At least price match Overwatch. And also, you have this thing where, hey, you can get Overwatch, which is a multiplayer-only game, for $40. Or you can get Battleborn, which has single-player and multiplayer, for $40. That would have been the selling point there.
With that, they would have done well to do the freemium model.
And have, like, Paladins the single-player campaign be paid.
Let's talk about that. Yes, it's a one-parter, but this is going to be a long one-parter.
Okay.
Fucking Paladins with their fucking VIP. They need to stop adding currencies. Because they have VIP coins, which are exclusively, from what I understand, used to get more VIP coins for your friends.
I forgot
And
about
get
something.
A couple of cool little... like, baubles.
This is going to tie into some Bethesda news, but we are going to talk about Paladins right now, because I'm fucking a little irritated.
First it was coins. Fine! Those are great, because I had coins in fucking spades! Didn't need any more, especially after getting the Founders Pack. You'd use it to buy skins, and that's about, and cards. And beyond that, like, that's it. Then, oh, excuse me. Then they introduced Essence. And you gained Essence retroactively, which means I still have a metric fuck ton of Essence.
Yeah, I still have more Essence than I can spend.
Kinda wish I had some more coins, but I can live with it. And then they introduced fucking, what is it, VIP points or whatever it fucking is?
No, crystals.
Oh, crystal. Those are... crystals are used for buying bigger power-ups and...
loot chests with skins. Mm-hmm.
And now they made it so that you can't... oh, you can buy, I think, the basic color swaps... but any of the premium skins that actually change the costume of characters, mm-hmm. you have to buy with coins, which, or, crystals. Which is okay, fine and okay.
Okay, so here, there are a couple of points here. I want to say the good and the bad of this. I'll start with the bad.
Mm-hmm.
The bad thing about having multiple currencies like this is that it is done deliberately to obfuscate how much you are actually spending money-wise on the game. It's to get people who bought things like the Founders Pack to be like, hey, but I really want this thing, so I'm going to put more money into this game. that's not necessarily a bad thing. It helps the game keep growing, and it helps the community stay alive. And right now I'm really excited that the community is as powerful as it is, with 300 consecutive players usually on Steam per day.
300?
With spikes in the weekends. 300,000.
Okay, it was like just 300 players. That sounds like Battleborn statistics.
Yeah.
No, but that, yeah, that is any given time.
But the fact of the matter is that is done to obfuscate how much money you are actually spending. And it's okay in a game like Paladins where it's a free-to-play game.
I've definitely spent more than 60 in that game, because I've gotten the power-ups a couple, like the, activated whatever premium, what
is
that?
And the crystals or the VIP stuff?
No, it's the, like, account activator or whatever.
Yeah, that's the account XP booster thing.
Yeah,
that gives
like
you
that.
Crystals per win and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the
for
thing.
A week, and you can help your friends do it, too.
Yeah, you can actually earn bonuses in Paladins. You can get crystals for free, which is to its credit, I think. And it's not even really a terribly small amount. Like, if you play for a couple weeks, you could buy a paid-for money skin.
Which is good.
And, that's certainly something in its favor. Now we're going to talk about Bethesda and what they've done with their Creation Club, where they still have you buy for real money these coins that are used to pay for, quote, mods. Now, when they say that it's not paid for mods, it's like, oh, well, how are they not paid for mods? Well, you spend coins on them. Oh, well, do you buy the coins with money?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, well, then that sounds like that you're putting money into the game.
With no horse armor.
There's horse armor. But look, Bethesda, everyone knows, except you, that these are paid for mods. You pay money, or you can't get them.
Well,
that is the fact of the
matter. They do know that. But if you don't put it in those words exactly...
But they are literally lying to people saying they're not paid mods.
Technically, they're not putting actual money toward actual mods. You're putting money toward coins, which you happen to be able to get mods with. Exclusively.
For money.
Yes.
Yes. That is the point. That is the point. Putting that digital currency in the middle there to hide the fact that you are spending...
There you go. I still feel like there's sneaky marketing that you can... But I can't think of any other games that have done that.
That's because it's not popular. It's so unpopular that the modding community created a mod to remove the Creation Club from the games.
Do you have to pay for that one, though?
No, it's free. Now, if the modding community is removing your modding system that's supposed to benefit the modding community, maybe that thing isn't actually benefiting the modding community, and you're full of shit.
It turns your modding community into a modding business, you know?
No, the modders don't like it.
No, I know, but that's the thing. That's what they're trying to do.
Well, they're trying to make money off of someone else's work, and it's so transparent.
You know how you do that? Sell more games by opening the Steam, the developers... Steam Workshop, that's the one.
Well, Steam Workshop does exist.
Allow it, exactly. Open up the Steam Workshop so that people know your game can be modded. Stardew. I'm really salty about that still.
Look, you removed from the Legendary Edition of Skyrim, you removed the ability to download mods from Steam. That is why people still, to this day, don't play the Legendary Edition over the original version of Skyrim, which had Steam mods, because it is so easy to fucking mod.
But now Nexus is booming.
There's a reason for that, because Bethesda, for some reason, is against the longevity of their game.
What can Bethesda do against things like Nexus mods?
Nothing.
I mean...
Nothing. Like, these people aren't making money.
Well,
off
exactly.
of mods. That's the whole point.
But that's the thing. There's gotta be a way, and I can see Bethesda doing this, somehow...
They did it with
online-only games.
With Skyrim Legendary Edition, what they did is they made it so that you can't mod that way. But
even
that's...
with the Nexus mods?
Yeah, you can't install them that way.
What do you do?
You can't install them through Steam either.
What do you do?
You have to download them from their own little mod UI. That only has some of the mods in the game.
I hate that.
Yes. So do most people. That is why they don't use it.
Well, I know. And that's a really good way to lose players. I just...
You want to increase the longevity of your game or continue to make money off the game? Here's what you have to do. Continue to make content for the game. Skyrim is now on just about every fucking thing except for your goddamn phone. It is stupid to not make new content for the game.
I bet you would run Oblivion on your phone, though.
Which I probably could. But seriously.
The sound thing wouldn't happen. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, that's probably true. Make new content for the game. Release that. Wow, it's like people are buying the DLC.
Exactly. If you want to make money on that, release it as DLC. You're turning people's mods into DLC. And that's not okay, because sometimes you really come across this golden mod. A lot of the times you're trying a mod, you're trying Thomas the Tank Engine or Schlongs of Skyrim because you just want to. I'm not going to pay for that.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, those are joke mods. You shouldn't have to pay for those things. And the type of mods that you are putting into your marketplace aren't even gameplay changers. They are either pay for power, which is, you know, buying a weapon with real money for a game that you already own that should have an equivalent in it already, or skins. Fucking skins. I will grant you that some of the armor is different, but it doesn't add that much to the gameplay. They can't be found elsewhere through another mod. The brightest thing on your fucking marketplace for your paid mods, and I'm going to hammer home that these are, in fact, paid mods, Bethesda, is your skin for the guy from Prey. Or the girl. You. Basically. Whichever you chose.
Is there a better term for it than paid mods? Because they're not... I mean, yes, they're mods, but...
No. That's the thing. They're trying to make a term... like mini DLC, so that they can hide the fact that they are, in fact, paid mods.
Mini DLC is buying a character on a game.
Marketing is what they're trying to do here. They're trying to make it so it sounds less... what's the word I'm looking for?
Shitty.
I mean, yeah, shitty will work. But they're definitely trying to make... oh my god.
Less impactful, maybe?
I just remembered something else I have to fucking talk about after this.
Okay.
Less corporate, obviously, trying to grub for money.
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to, like, look, modding community, we accept you guys. You guys are the backbone of the Bethesda community. Money. Give us money.
Now, you can make some money, too. Not as much as we will, but you can make some money, too.
Which is, I have to admit, it would be nice if
you can modders make dino
could
bucks.
Make money. But, dino bucks. It would be nice if... they could make money. Oh, wait! There's such a thing as Patreon, or PayPal, or literally any other method of paying people if you like the way their mods are.
You're taking your goodwill that you have garnered from the release of games that are broken.
That's not good.
No, it is. That modding has turned into amazing games. And throwing it back in the modders' faces. You realize that it is entirely the modding community that has fixed these games so that they are playable for everyone, right?
I don't particularly want to play Skyrim without a graphics overhaul, if my computer can hold it.
Exactly! Not to mention, the AI behavior is fucking broken.
Always happen.
I know, but you can
Do
fix
you
it
know
with mods.
About the dark elves?
You can fix it with mods.
Exactly!
Everything in the game that is wrong can be fixed with a mod.
Better NPCs, prettier water, prettier NPCs,
houses of Skyrim, cities of Skyrim, sounds of Skyrim. These are all things that improve the experience beyond what
you offer. I mean, like, they'll add new bosses and change their behavior, so it's really just kind of endearing.
Now, I mentioned goodwill earlier, and I've realized that I have to talk about something else that I was going to talk about this week.
Love that store.
Goodwill? No. So, many people have known that I've changed my stance on Shadow of War. The sequel to Shadow of Mordor from Warner Brothers Studios. I really liked Shadow of Mordor. It was a great game. The character was actually... he felt like a character that had flaws and wasn't just doing things because I'm the protagonist. I almost said antagonist, which would have been funny. Sorry, you took a drink in a weird way and it threw me off. Yeah, don't. That's weird. Something that they have been doing to ruin their reputation with that game is they have been adding loot boxes in a game that has multiplayer. Loot boxes that will actually give you orcs and weapons which can be used to directly affect the online gameplay, which is literally a pay-for-power move. And their excuse is, well, you can find those things in-game. It's like, yes.
After 70 hours of gameplay.
Through the effort of playing your game. So you're literally telling us that it's not worth our money to play the game.
I guess that's what it comes down to, is it reduces value in the game. You're getting hours of gameplay. Generally, especially with indie games, I base it off of dollars per hour of gameplay.
That's exactly what I do with my games, too.
Exactly. But I say it's hours of wholesome, perfect, meaty gameplay, you know, where you're actually having fun and you're not just grinding through it.
Yeah.
If it's a free-to-play game and I'm really passionate about that, absolutely, but...
Well, and here's the other thing here. The final nail in the coffin for me and why I'm not going to get this game. Again, unless it's on a very, 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 very steep sale. I'm talking, like, the sale that I got Shadow of Mordor for, which was like $10, I think.
Yeah. Good deal.
Yes. So...
Yes, that was a good deal.
One of the developers of the game died recently of cancer. And he was the guy... I'm trying to remember his name. In fact, would you vamp for a second, or do you know this story?
I don't know this story, but I am rather interested.
All right, let me...
For which game?
For Shadow of War. God damn it. Hang on, I've got
which
the...
I think
I'm waiting for the story to load up.
But, well, you can just...
The guy who goes by Fort Hog, who worked for Warner Brothers developing this game, who was really passionate about this game, died of cancer recently. And as a show of good faith, Warner Brothers decided to take Michael Forgy, the guy we were talking about, and put him as an in-game character called Fort Hog, the Orc Slayer, as DLC in the game. The proceeds were supposed to go to, you know, the family.
Aww.
But also to Warner Brothers.
I mean, still gotta make money. Is all the other DLC paid? Or all the other characters, I guess, paid?
What other characters?
In the game.
All the loot box orcs?
Yeah.
Yes? Mm. They're capitalizing on the death of one of the members that put their heart and soul and life
into this
game.
How much of it are
they
taking, though?
Well, here's the thing. In some places, 100%.
What?
Because they didn't bother... And seriously, in some states, they're taking 100% of the profit because they didn't bother to apply for the charity law license that they needed to be able to get the charity in every state.
Why do you need a charity license?
You do have to get one.
That's bullshit. You should never need a license to get money laundering. Never mind.
Yes.
Mm.
That's the whole point.
It should be as simple as submit. They'll check you out for...
It's 5 states.
Really?
Yes. And the entirety of Europe.
Must be really easy to launder money there. Or, must be really hard to launder money there. It's easy to launder money anywhere else, jeez.
Okay, and here's the thing. The guy died of cancer.
Yeah.
Yes, it's great that they're giving proceeds to the family. I think that's a great show of faith. I think that's a great way to honor his memory, particularly putting the guy into the game. And he shows up in the capacity of, like, the stranger in the Fallout series, where he just shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And helps you sometimes, and then disappears.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. But it's Alabama... What does HI stand for?
Hawaii?
There you go. Alabama, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, Missouri, and SC?
South Carolina.
There you go, South Carolina.
You're really bad at this.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't...
That's okay, there's a couple that I'm kind of like, what does that mean?
So those states, every state that the game is bought... every one of those states I listed and the game is bought in, the proceeds go all entirely to Warner Brothers because they didn't bother to file for that license. Now, if you're going to do a charity, one would assume that if it's really in good faith,
mm-hmm.
you would apply for the license to do that, right? Because it's actually not that expensive.
Yeah.
Total Biscuit actually did an expose on that, citing how very inexpensive it is to apply for that license. And they didn't bother.
I do feel like, yeah, if they wanted to really do right by the family, they really should have done that. And that's really shitty.
And I wanted to offer an update. On September 5th, they made a public statement saying that they are not, in fact, profiting from the sales of it. But this is flying in the fact that, or in the face of the fact that they still did not apply for the license in those states. So any sales coming from that state is still going to give them profits.
To be fair, I mean, it's all going back to... It's all going back to the company. That said, you do need to... I don't think...
It's not all going back to the company.
Well, the money is. Like, the money from those sales.
To be redistributed back to that family?
Exactly. Like, it's all going back to that state, but you're not taxed on charity. So if you're making a sale and you don't have the charity license, you're taxed on that. Not that that defends them. They need to apply for that.
They're still profiting in those states.
Exactly. And they should have done the right thing. Like, so I understand why legally they can't just wave a hand against that. No, they would have had to get that license. So I get that they didn't get the license, so they have to.
The game's not out yet.
But they should have...
The game's not out yet. They can still do this. They could still rectify the situation and still have it.
Maybe they still will. When does the game come out? Approximately.
I think it was this Christmas. Well, Christmas season, rather. 31st of December is when this DLC is being released. No, it's up till the 31st of December in 2019. The DLC is going to go off air.
Off air?
Yeah, they're not going to be offering it anymore after that.
Oh, gotcha. That's stupid. How are we supposed to get shit?
If they do, in fact, finally apply for those licenses, like, maybe they're waiting for the licenses to pass.
They're
in
not.
States.
They would have said something.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, they know why they're getting flack. They could fix it.
At least say, yeah, we're gonna get those licenses, and then go do it.
Like, we have to put the disclaimer here because it's not offered yet. But once it is offered, we can remove the disclaimer. That would be fine. That would be like, oh, okay, fair enough. You know, like, we get the licenses take a while to apply for.
And that, you know, sometimes... You know, red tape and all that, but...
Yeah. Or if there's some reason why they can't get the licenses, maybe they should tell us that. Be like,
and then you
we
know
tried,
they...
but the states are assholes.
And then you know what they do? Donate more money. That's all they have to do. Yes, we're profiting off this, but we're also going to donate this much to you.
Yeah.
You know? Just a set amount, because then you only have to deal with the state that you're in.
You can even say, hey, maybe for every DLC that you guys buy, we're going to donate an additional dollar.
That's how you get through that. You know, because then you don't have to worry about a percent, then you don't have to worry about... Yeah, there are a number of ways they could have done better.
Look at how Blizzard does their charity. Whenever you buy, like, one of those event horses, like the mounts in games, the profits from those mounts go towards disaster relief, typically.
Mm-hmm. Which is very needed right now.
And they tell you how much is going towards the disaster relief every time. So you make that decision ahead of time. You don't hide the fact that, unless you're buying it in these states. And then when you're called out on your shit, you don't fucking lie.
Yeah, that's the awfulest part. I don't think I know enough about it to make a call on that, but it sounds shitty.
It is.
I really hope that maybe there's something that we're missing, but there's probably not.
This will be included in the show notes. There are a number of games journalists who have covered this. I will be listing the ones that I have heard
in addition,
talk about this.
Two games journalists.
One of them
that
being
one fucker.
America's number one kiss boy, Jim Sterling.
Yeah.
He calls himself that, by the way. That's not me.
Anyway, I think we've gone way over time. Probably will be a forced break somewhere in there. I think, yeah, is it okay to...
Yeah, I think we're going to call this a Dapper Shark this week.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yep. Join us next week for more media chicanery and industry news.
Interact with us in the comments, please.
Hopefully games...
Every time you don't interact in the comments, that's another... They twist the knife a little more?
I will be talking about Mega Man X Corrupted next week.
They cut off another finger.
Mega Man X Corrupted next week.
Fingers.
Fingers. All right, bye, guys.